Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President CEO of The Wine Growers. We are here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine. And Carissa's still dancing.
I'm still dancing.
I know. It's your happy dance.
It is my happy dance. It's my Snoopy happy dance.
Snoopy happy dance. Welcome to February.
I know.
How did this happen?
I don't know. Well, and I should just say we are pre-recording this show because this is a weekend of multiple activations for the wine growers.
Mm-hmm. So tell us more.
We have a lot going on. So part of the team, including me, because I'm in two places at once.
Yes.
Just kidding. Part of the team is going to be down in Palm Springs. It is the Passion for Pinot Noir event, which is kind of, in the past couple of years, become a really big deal for
How
Pinot Noir.
How many people go?
Hundreds.
Hundreds.
I think it actually might hit close to 1,000 because it.
Wow.
I know. It's talked about all year round. They've done a great job with it. It's at the Westin in Rancho Mirage, part of Mission Hills Country Club. And we this year added a master class to the lineup. So we know we have about 20 winery partners that are going to be down there pouring Sonoma County Pinot Noir. So we're doing a master class from the West Sonoma Coast to Carneros, showcasing the different Pinot Noir styles of Sonoma County.
Mm.
So that's cool. And then with our new partnership with the Coachella Valley Firebirds, we had Rich Franklin on a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
They connected us to their other partner, which I love how this happens.
Yeah.
They have a partnership called, it's the Shops on El Paseo.
Mm.
Have you been down there recently?
I have not. I've only been to Indian Wells. Well,
okay.
I've been to Palm Springs, but...
Yeah, so this is in like the Palm Desert near mm-hmm. Indian Wells area, but there's a very high-end strip of stores and restaurants on El Paseo, street name, including like a Tiffany's and a Louis Vuitton, so think elevated experience with really world-class restaurants. And so our Coachella Valley Firebirds partners connected us to the Shops in El Paseo, and we are going to be doing a pop-up event in conjunction with this Passion for Pinot event at four of their restaurants. So I'm just going to list them off at Shorebird, Daily Grill, Portofia, and Kitchen 86. And we have 2 to 3 winery partners pouring wine from 4 to 7 at each one of those restaurants.
Okay, for people to just
stroll.
Pop in.
Yeah, and then they're actually creating a mechanism for guests of the restaurants to be able to buy a bottle of wine or buy a glass of wine and take it to their table and enjoy with dinner.
I like that.
Isn't that cool?
Hmm. I think you should do that everywhere.
We should.
Like everywhere in the world.
Everywhere in the world. Hello, Sonoma County.
Yes.
We're coming to you live from everywhere in the world.
You should at least try.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be a really fun event. Like I said, we're recording this in advance. So the other place our team is literally today, as this airs on February 1st, is it's the Zin X event supporting Zinfandel varietal of wine. It's over in Napa. They moved it over there from the city. There's going to be an event in San Francisco in June as well. And we are hosting the VIP lounge. So we have several Zin producer winery partners that are pouring their Zin. And we're also doing a Zin masterclass for 40 VIPs. So we're showcasing 12 different Zinfandels in that masterclass. So this is definitely, if we could, you know, be in two places at once or three places at once, that kind of weekend where we have activations going on here for Zinfandel, down south for Pinot Noir, and lots of excitement.
I'm speechless.
I know.
I mean, that's a lot going on.
It is a lot going on.
A lot of wine and getting in front of a lot of people with wine.
Which is what we're trying to do.
We all should be doing.
I was going to say, we've really shifted the model. I mean, 10, 11 years ago, we were all about really talking about Sonoma County as a world-class wine region, sort of building brand awareness for the region. And I think now we do more and more to bring wine to different locations, find new fans, build the wine category, which please everyone out there as partners help us do. And then help our winery partners actually find new consumers, new placements on menus, lists, shelves, knowing that if they can sell wine that says Sonoma County on the label, that they will then be supporting our local grape growers and buying more Sonoma County grapes.
Well, I think it's a good model for the entire wine industry. We just need to go where people are, not expect them always to come here. And
although you're all welcome to come here if you're listening outside of Sonoma County.
I mean, do both, but you can't. Yeah. So amazing. And that's just, and we're just February.
I mean, this is like the beginning. I know lots of travel coming up. We were looking at the calendar. We're hosting 6 different groups over the next 4 months that will be bringing folks, whether it's sommeliers, writers, influencers, to Sonoma County. We are headed out to multiple locations, including Mexico City and Houston and Dallas and Chicago, and the list goes on.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break, but maybe we also need to take a nap.
We might take a nap.
Before all of this happens. We'll be right back on The Good Stuff. Joined us on The Good Stuff. Our guest today is Megan Murphy, Sustainability Manager at Bunshu Company. And that does, if the name sounds familiar, does include Gunlock Bunshu Winery, which is oldest family-owned winery in California, which we can talk about. Abbott's Passage, Bunshu Winery and Vineyard Service as well. So I don't know, I'm sure I missed some things, but that's a lot to sustain.
Yeah.
welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
It's great to have you in studio. So we last saw you at the Century Club event.
That's right. Yeah, we were just inducted.
Yes, where the family was being honored for farming in Sonoma County for 100 plus years.
100 plus years, but I mean, they're 100 plus, plus,
I know.
Maybe, like being one of the oldest family-owned wineries in California. So give us a little bit about, like, tell us about you, for one thing. I mean, you, sustainability manager is a position that probably didn't exist 10, 5, maybe even 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. When did you start and how did you kind of come to this role?
Yeah, so I began with Gunlock Bunshu Company back in July of 2020. And this, my position kind of came to fruition for a number of different reasons, but you're right. I couldn't find any other sustainability manager titles when I first started, besides for, I think there was like Jackson Family Wines had it at that point.
So the
Bunshu family has always really prioritized sustainability, but it was in 2019 when they finally decided to start making the transition to organic agriculture. Mm-hmm. And this was the time when they decided that they wanted some help on the brain power operational side of things. And that's when they brought me in from Florida, nonetheless. and I came with really no viticulture background at all, but I had a lot of experience with organic farming. And what I did bring was a master's in global sustainability and climate change and kind of a different perspective of things rather than, you know, the traditional viticulture approach. And so I started learning the ranches on an ATV doing irrigation my first year. And then I got knees deep in the cellar for harvest of 2020. And after that, I really started taking on all of our sustainability initiatives, all of our environmental compliance, which is the probably
a lot.
the less fun side of my job for sure. But still very exciting. You know, that's when I introduced animals to the property and we brought in pollinator habitats and beehives and started doing ecological outcome verification monitoring, all of these sort of baseline things to start moving us toward what eventually became the decision of getting our regenerative organic certification. So that's really kind of how the job description changes every year. It's always evolving.
Well, I think that's the thing with sustainability, period. As you learn, get better information, more resources.
Absolutely.
There's no finish line.
Exactly. And I love that you mentioned that because, you know, sustainability, people think it's kind of like an end goal, but, you're always learning. You're always evolving. Yeah. And the second you stop learning is, you know,
it's really a values driven versus a goal driven.
Absolutely. Totally. Yeah. And that's kind of, you know, where that was ingrained in the Bunshu family and how they approach their business from the beginning. You know, we've been farming the same land for 167 years.
And definition of sustainable.
They're right. You can't approach that without you know, having sustainability as your, you know, main angle. Their legacy wouldn't be here if that wasn't the case.
Yeah, it's part of their DNA at this point.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so with me, they decided to, you know, really lean into it.
How did they find you in Florida, or how did you find them in Sonoma County? Yeah. Just out of curiosity.
Well, and I think there's some Midwestern connection even before Florida.
Yeah, that's right.
So yes. Give us, you know,
A
little more background.
We need a little Megan 101.
Yeah. So I was born and raised in Evansville, Indiana, which is, you know, the very southern tip of Indiana on the border of Kentucky.
A hot spot of the United States, clearly.
Yes. Yeah. Everyone knows Evansville, right? But I actually met my husband in Milwaukee. He went to Marquette, and I was finishing up at University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. And he was born and raised, or he was born in Chicago, raised in Sonoma. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of this, like,
got it.
Already, like, the tie, the familial tie back to Sonoma. And so he and I traveled around a lot after college, and then I eventually decided to get my master's degree, and I was getting that at University of South Florida. So that took us to Florida.
Got it.
So that was why I was there. And then when the pandemic hit, we decided to, you know, make the move back to Sonoma, and I was able to get connected with Jeff Bunchu. Mm-hmm. And at the time, his cousin Toll was running our operations. And I got on Zoom with them and just kind of did like a exploratory conversation to see what, you know, what was out there in Sonoma for me. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, yeah, no, you should come work for us. Like, so 2 weeks
That's
later,
awesome.
We hopped on a plane.
It can be that simple.
Yeah, right? So it was one of those things where it's kind of like fate, you know. Nothing that, no ties that I had to the wine industry or anything before, and I couldn't have ended up in a better spot. And it's been really great ever since then.
But your agricultural background also includes some international time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like you spent, at least from your bio, you've spent some time in Vietnam, which was informative in this notion of sustainability and how to do agriculture in a way.
Yeah. So after undergrad, I had absolutely no idea what I wanted to do in life at all. And I wasn't on any sort of agriculture path or sustainability path or anything like that. But I went and taught English in Vietnam. And that was where I was really confronted with, you know, how far reaching the anthropogenic climate change is. So human-caused climate change. The things that we saw there as far as their environmental state and we saw barges of garbage being shipped in and learning that it's from North America. You know, you just realize, like, how negatively we are able to impact the planet and how it can be totally out of sight, out of mind. And that was when I really decided that this is something that I'm very passionate about and would like to, you know, be a part of a solution. And so that's when I really decided to go back to school for sustainability. And I had always had a connection with agriculture growing up in the Midwest. And I started farming there in Florida. And I worked for this amazing little farm called Fat Beet Farm, and they're a little coastal startup right on literally like 1 foot above sea level.
And mountainous.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so there, that's, you know, I did solar, water reclamation projects, aquaponics, or complete organic farming. And that was, you know, where that passion really started. And so through my whole program, I am tying it sustainability to agriculture. And that's how I emerged from there.
Yeah.
How did you choose Vietnam? So you come out of school, you're not sure what you want to do, and you're like, I'm going to Vietnam.
I did want to go to a third world country.
Okay.
And I also wanted to go somewhere near the ocean.
Okay. Just curious.
It's a beautiful, beautiful place.
It's incredible.
And so much history.
Absolutely. And you go, we started in the south and took a train all the way up north. And, you know, you go through the south and the north, Vietnam are completely different. And they speak different languages. And all of the landscapes out there are incredible. And it was just really sad to see that, you know, kids couldn't even get in the water there. And and it was so dusty from burning trash and
just the pollution.
It was horrific.
I've been there once, to Vietnam once.
Okay, yeah. So you know.
You're right, and I was in Hanoi, and it's beautiful parts of it, and then just overwhelmed mm-hmm. with the pollution. And then,
yep.
And then got to have some of the best food I've ever had
exactly.
in my life. So
yeah.
it was like this dichotomy yeah. of experiences.
Totally. Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of the rundown where I came from.
And so coming to Sonoma County and coming into kind of the wine space, I mean, what are you bringing with you that you can apply, and what are you finding is unique to the wine space mm-hmm. and wine growing?
Well, so two separate things here. I think what I was able to bring to the wine space was more of a systems thinking approach, more of a holistic view at kind of what's going on here. I think it is so, the wine industry is so rooted in tradition.
Yes, it is.
And
for good and for bad.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, some of it we honor. Yeah. The history club.
Absolutely.
And then other parts of it we need to.
Totally. Yeah. And, you know, I've said this before that, you know, it's so important to recognize those who came before you and respect everything they've done. But I came to push the status quo and to, you know, start questioning things. And I think that is totally what the regenerative organic movement is as well, in terms of the wine industry. So I kind of forgot the second part of the question.
But so, and what's unique to kind of the wine space that you've had to challenge yourself on some thinking, or that you've really learned?
Well, and I think what's so unique about the wine industry in terms of agriculture is that we sit on a platform that people are watching. Like, we have these marketing resources and this ability to influence not only like people's purchasing power, but also how they do view agriculture. And mm-hmm. we have the ability to educate,
yeah.
you know, in a way that where, you know, potato farmers, they're not, you know, posting on their Instagram.
yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So we have these resources.
Yeah. People, maybe the audience is not quite as large
right.
as it is with wine. But
right.
you're right. I mean, it is a very special platform, I think.
And I love, I mean, we talk a lot, Virginia and I do, on the show, and with guests, like, the thing that's so great about Sonoma County and we need is that it's great to honor that legacy, like you just said, but it's great to have new thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, you know, and to be able to recognize, I mean, I'm not a native to Sonoma mm-hmm. County, and it's definitely my home now,
mm-hmm.
so, I mean, it's a wonderful place to end up, but it's nice to have experienced other places, other
mm-hmm.
businesses, other farmers, in
yeah.
my case as well.
And then bring that in.
And then bring that in and say, this is really working well. Or, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, did you ever think about doing something and borrow it
Absolutely.
From another industry or another, you know, ag group?
Totally.
And so I love that. I think that's really great.
And I think that's really, so the regenerative organic, and I'm sure we'll get into this a little
yes.
more, but the regenerative organic farming, you know, it can be more, I don't want to say impactful, but more obvious with things where you're a non-perennial crop. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, with viticulture, we have hundreds and thousands of acres of a perennial crop that have the opportunity to consistently sequester carbon.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, with an annual crop, you can be rotating things, adding more biodiversity and such. And so when you think of regenerative agriculture, you don't immediately come to viticulture. But that, I think, is the position that we need to change in the thought process that we're trying to influence at Bunchu Company, too.
Yeah, so maybe, I know we have to take a break in a couple of minutes, but we should start. Tell us a little bit about the certification and the process and kind of what practices you've changed as part of that.
Yeah, so regenerative organic certification is this new revolutionary gold standard certification for textiles, food, personal care products. And it's just recently started moving into wine. We were the, I think, fourth to be certified in California.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So it was kind of, you know, we put ourselves on the line a little bit to take this, I wouldn't say risk, but it kind of is too at the same time. But so the ROC is what it's also referred to as, is put forth by the Regenerative Organic Alliance. And it's really all about working with nature rather than against against it to create, you know, more thriving, sustainable ecosystems. And that is done through creating or promoting more biodiversity, building your soil health, fostering a healthy workplace. And all of these sort of values kind of were already what we were practicing, but we wanted to hold ourselves accountable and, you know, have that third party verification to, you know, really be able to be honest and transparent with our consumers. And so that's Rock, and we'll kind of get more into it. I don't know. If we
Because it's been a year since you sort of achieved that certification. So yeah, when we come back, we'll get a little bit more into like what that takes and how people can find out more on the good stuff. Good stuff with our guest Megan Murphy, sustainability manager at Bunshu Company. And so you were speaking a lot about sort of the regenerative organic certified or ROC process. You've been certified for a year. How long? I mean, what if people are interested, what is the realistic
how do you start
time frame? Yeah, I mean, and maybe even before that, describe kind of the size of Bunshu. Like how many acres are you really dealing with? Mm-hmm. It's all wine, or are there other parts of ag? Like, give us a little background.
Yeah, so we have, for Bunshu Company, we have 304 certified acres, and we have all wine grapes besides, like, 2 acres of olives that are also certified. So, and that is actually Jim Bunshu, who is our fifth generation owner. He makes olive oil out of it and sells in the tasting room. Little sidebar.
Yeah.
So, with the certification process, it's a whole thing, right? It starts all the baseline requirement to become ROC certified is to be USDA organic certified. So that can be through whatever certifier is in your local area. Ours is CCOF. And so I mentioned earlier, we started our organic transition in 2019. And in that transition period, it's 3 years where you kind of wean your land from any sort of synthetic inputs. And so we started that transition in 2019. We were certified organic by 2022. And so that was our baseline requirement. And when we backing up 2022, and then we took a year off in between ROC and CCOF certification. You can go after them at the same time. They've now optimized that, so you aren't going through several audits. But we took a year off because a portion of our parcel was behind in the transition period, was a year behind. So in that year break, we started implementing many regenerative practices, the main one being grazing ruminants. So we began to try to build our own flock of baby doll sheep, which
So that's the cute.
Could not be the cuter. I know, could not be cuter.
That's the marketing part, right? No.
Yes,
they're so freaking cute.
They're so cute. We ended up realizing we're much better at growing grapes than
they don't
shepherding
listen, do they?
Sheep. It's just so much more involved than you think, right? Of raising a flock. So we eventually, you know, gave up that aspiration, and now we're contracting grazers. But anyway, so then by 2023, we're certified ROC. And so altogether, if you count the transition period, that was 4 years.
Yeah, it takes some time.
Yeah, it takes some time. But, you know, if you plan well, you can kind of shorten that up, I think. And so with ROC, that sits on three pillars. It's soil health, animal welfare, and farm worker fairness. And the farm worker fairness portion was really the big selling point for us to get that approval from our, you know, major stakeholders. They're like, yeah. Oh, we can honor our people. Like, this is a certification that recognizes people, which is just as big of a portion of our land and how we're growing our grapes than anything. And so that was that. And since then, you know, we have been able to increase our regenerative practices. I think the biggest thing that we are working on now is reducing our tillage and incorporating no-till, which we're realizing takes a lot of information. So that's kind of really our biggest challenge right now, I would say. And we're doing that through no-till trials and gathering as much data as we possibly can through soil samples and in-field monitoring. And then incorporating, you know, animals on your land. So this year we're going to be having, for the first time, 400 sheep grazing all of our properties through perennial grazers. Shout out to them.
Were you able to, you know, before you sort of started this process or even now kind of ongoing, were you able to spend time with other people in California that are certified or even look toward, you know, businesses or farms that have done this somewhere else and have good things to impart?
So the biggest or the people that started this first was Tablas Creek in our industry, right? And so I was able to chat with Jordan Lomborg, their viticulturist, and Elizabeth Whitlow, their executive director. She's incredibly involved and open. What's so great about this and what I think you know, the industry can really get back to is collaborating and working together and sharing insights rather than, you know, trying to be the best. If we all come together as one, we can all emerge better than we started. But, you know, as being one of the first, it's kind of not too many to collaborate with other than that, you know. I know we have a few more in Sonoma County, which, and, you know, that's a good a round table going.
Yeah, well, right. So now that sort of puts you in a leadership position then or a resource position. So are you finding that since your certification, people are coming to you to ask, the baby doll sheep are cute, but I mean, what does it really take? Or other lessons that you've learned?
Yeah, I think many doors have opened for other people to come with questions, and it's so welcomed on our end. You know, we want to be a leader in this space, and one of my biggest goals is to educate as much as possible and to convince other people that, you know, we're the oldest family-owned winery in California. If we can do it, like, you can do it. Yeah. We're pretty small. You know, we have under 100 employees, 304 acres. But, you know, we definitely aren't burgeoning with cash, you know. So I think
the land rich, cash poor,
right? Exactly.
Maybe tell folks just for who might not be as familiar with Sonoma County, like where you're actually located, where you're farming, where the original winery is.
Yeah,
give us a sense of place.
We are in Sonoma Valley, almost in Napa. So when you are at our ranch, you can kind of like see the border of Napa. So we're right in the heart of Sonoma Valley, and then Abbott's Passage, our newest ranch, is in Glen Ellen, which is north.
Both wonderful places to visit. A lot of great energy, I think, at both of those wineries. I think Gunlock Bunchu has always had such a great reputation for being accessible and fun. There's the concerts. There's a lot of just good events that take place there. And I think for a long time, tractor tours, too. So is that still something that people can experience?
We have our Penzauger tour,
So the branded tractor tour.
It's
the branded,
like old Australian, I think that's what it is. They're probably, our marketing team's gonna listen to me and be like, come on, Megan.
They're very fancy vehicles for getting around.
It's a really cool vehicle. It's not a tractor, but it's really cool. gosh, I can't even, that's bad, but yeah, the Pinsauger. Yeah, we do farm tours, all kinds of different types of tastings. We have a really cool cave at Gunluck mm-hmm. Bunshu. And then Abbas Passage, we have our mercantile, and that's Katie Bunshu, which is Jeff's sister. Mm-hmm. That's more of her shindig, and she runs that tasting room there, and it's so female owned, and both of our places are super family friendly, dog friendly. We're all about, you know, welcoming everyone, and as you mentioned, being accessible to wine, we want to make sure it's as approachable as possible. Yeah.
Okay, I had to look it up because I just had to.
The Pinsauger.
Oh, good.
Yes, the Pinsauger, the Pins Excursion.
Yes.
So closed until April. So this is something folks should look forward to.
Post mud, hopefully. April.
Yes, exactly.
So this is a Swiss Army transport vehicle.
Swiss Army, not Australian. Australian.
for an off-roading experience across Rhine Farm, cruise through our regenerative organic vineyards with a glass of wine in your hand. A guide takes you on a journey of the history of this oldest family-owned winery. So that sounds amazing.
It is really cool.
You had me at a random word I can't pronounce ever, so I kind of had to like look that up.
But what a great way for people to kind of get a sense of regenerative farming. Like, what is it?
Yeah,
what are you guys doing?
And tour guides, Nora Murphy is one of them, and she's incredible. She also has a radio show. I could drop that here, but I don't know the title of it.
All right. Well, we need to take a break on our radio show, and we will be right back with Megan Murphy. Good stuff with Megan Murphy, sustainability manager at Bunshu Company. And yeah, go on that tour, learn more about regenerative organic certified farming at Gunluck Bunshu specifically. But tell us a little bit more about just kind of the process, the challenges, sort of what you see ahead for this this type of farming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the biggest challenge that we've had moving into regenerative organic is the transition period itself. You know, as I mentioned earlier, we've been farming this land for 167 years. That is it's inevitable that your soils are going to become degraded a bit or depleted of their mm-hmm. nutrients. And so, you know, with regenerative organic, you're looking to reverse some of the human-caused damage we've done to soils. You know, and regardless of how well you're farming, that's inevitable. So, you know, going through weaning off the land from the inputs, off-farm inputs they've once received while reducing our tillage and trying to do no-till, we've seen a little bit of dip in yields. But we've also, you know, our old Weingau Wurzelmeiner, we just had the strongest harvest for it this past harvest. So we're still trying to fully understand what's mm-hmm. causing the effects and mm-hmm. how it's so site-specific, regenerative agriculture. And so we're still really trying to learn our land from a different lens. You know, we've been farming it for 167 years, but now we're looking at it from a different angle, and it's presenting us a lot of things that we had never thought about before. And I think that's kind of like the whole systems thinking part where mm-hmm. I've been able to kind of get in there for that. And so, yeah, it's waiting for those results. It's a multi-year process. It's not, you know, instant gratification. And so getting through that part has been the most challenging, I'd say.
Yeah, well, I mean, wine growing, not instant gratification, I guess. really could be your next marketing slogan.
That would be the next.
Yes. But you must be doing something right because you've been in this role about 4 years and you've been recognized by wine enthusiasts as a future 40. So that's...
No, we're definitely past 40.
You don't have to be 40.
I know, but I'm just messing.
The good news is you don't have to be 40. But it means 40 people that are doing some great things in the wine industry. And can you share kind of like what does that mean to you personally, professionally? Are people giving you a hard time? Are people reaching out to you more?
Yeah. It was definitely like... super surprising. It was one of those things where I was like beyond what's the word I'm looking for? Grateful and just like one of those things where you're just like, okay, wow. When I first started my master's program, people would come to me all the time and be like, why are you pursuing sustainability? What's that? In this capacity, you're paying money for that? Like, why?
Right.
So it made me realize I'm not completely crazy.
you showed them.
So, exactly. It's like that validating factor. But professionally, too, you know, we want to be leaders in the space. And if that means one additional person got to learn what regenerative agriculture is, then that's great. And that's what it means the most.
Yeah. No, great. Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for representing Sonoma County.
Absolutely. So I guess we should share a little bit about websites to learn more about the Bunshoe Company and the certification within their vineyards. You can visit bunshoe.com. B-U-N-D-S-C-H-U. Then the rock info is at regenorganic.org. And should we can go through all the different
wine brands.
There's gunbun.com.
Yep.
Gunbun's a good one to visit. Abbotspassage.com is another one. And what's becometogether.wine?
So that is our new Gunbun label.
Okay.
Oh. And it's kind of our out in the world nationally. You can find it in Target. So
Oh, that's cool.
Try that out.
It just, I like it.
Yeah. It's good. It's good stuff.
Okay. Well, speaking of...
best segue ever.
We want to thank our guest, Megan Murphy, for joining us today.
To talk about good stuff on the good stuff.
To talk about good stuff on the good stuff.
Yeah, Megan, great to have you in studio.
Thank you guys so much for having me. This has been really fun.
Carissa, I think I learned a lot in that conversation with Megan Murphy of Bunshoe Company.
I know. Wasn't that amazing?
Always been a fan, but lots going on there, lots that we can all learn about. And
well, I think it's so important. I mean, literally, employees and soil health. I can't think of two more important things to be focused on when you're thinking about farming and the future of agriculture, so...
Yeah.
And baby doll sheep. Okay,
we'll just throw those in. Yes, of course.
Let's just do the baby doll sheep, right?
And new perspectives. I mean, I think bringing in people that, you know, have had experiences elsewhere in other types of ag or just seen things and they bring their perspective and younger generation.
I mean, clearly important. I'm a fan of that since I didn't grow up here, so.
Yes.
Right?
All right. Well, wine.
I know.
Come on.
So much wine. So Tuesday night wine. No, she was like, pay attention. Well, it was like this was a no-brainer because I am saving a bottle of wine for Tuesday night for only a couple days, so it's not that long. So my Tuesday night wine is going to be the Gunluck Bunshoe Chardonnay 2023 Sonoma Coast. And I love you were talking about this. It's already on the label, made with regenerative organic certified grapes.
Yeah.
So easy
amazing
way to tell that story.
Yeah, well, I'm going to follow your lead and do a Gunbun 2023 Dry Gewurztraminer. They're one of the producers that have continuously made a nice, dry, truly dry Gewurztraminer. Also, State Vineyard, Sonoma Valley in this case, also made from regenerative organic certified grapes. This is a bottle of wine that I have enjoyed many times at their concerts.
That's awesome.
And I hope to again.
I was going
to
say, and on Tuesday night.
Well, whatever night. I mean, whatever the concert is, if it's somebody good, they actually get some really, really great people in there. Either they have a barn, a really cool old wooden barn, you know, just historical site, and then an outside amphitheater. So check it out.
It's great that on a serious note, how they're approaching their farming practices, but they're really the family, Jeff, Katie. I mean, the wine, the experiences are actually quite fun and accessible. They're part of like a good example of how to bring people into an experience and really increase their love and connection with wine.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. Yes. And they've got kind of everything you need. History, great wines, that accessibility piece. You can learn about farming. You can listen to some music.
Yeah, and 167 years old. So... Yeah. Huge shout out to that.
All right.
You know, no biggie.
Part of the Century Club.
Yes, part of the Century Club.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining us on today's good stuff from Sonoma County to wherever you are. Remember to drink the good stuff.
Yes. Cheers to that.